So how does it affect the entire family when one member becomes a believer? That and much more is what we're going to explore on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. You're joining in the middle of a series that I'm really excited about called 100 Faith Alone Verses. It's based on a book by Dr. Bob Wilkin of the same name, 100 Faith Alone Verses. So let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are looking at verses that teach salvation by faith apart from works, eternal salvation by faith apart from works. It's a controversial question. Not a whole lot of churches affirm it. And even among the churches that affirm that salvation is by faith apart from works, they're not always consistent in teaching that.
That's true.
One Sunday, your pastor might say, listen, we're saved by faith. And then the next Sunday, the pastor might say, but we really know that if you believe, then you'll obey. If you really believe, you'll do these works. If you really believe, then you're not going to do these sins. If you really believe, and then they add all kinds of works into it. So our position at Grace Evangelical Society is that the faith alone message is true. It's what's taught in the Bible, but it's not widely taught in the churches. And so we find it our ministry to clarify where people are going wrong on this and where people are confusing the simple faith alone message. I believe that a lot of pastors who are confused on this probably don't want to be confused. Do you think that they want to teach salvation by works, or do you think that it's just their theological inheritance that they haven't thought through?
Well, that's a great question. It's hard to analyze other people's motives, especially on a grand scale, but based on the scriptures, it seems tradition is what has confused so many people, and it seems they are well-intentioned. They want to get it right. But on the other hand, also you find, for example, John 5:39-40, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but
right,
these are they which testify of me, and you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. So sometimes with preachers, there's an unwillingness to give any serious consideration to the faith alone message, because to them, it seems too radical.
Right. But you have to do something. It's just too good to be true that it's just by believing.
Right. A lot of pastors, and not just pastors, but people in the pew, base their theology today on what makes sense to them. That's a dangerous thing to do.
Right.
What we should do is base our theology on what God says.
The case that you're trying to make in your book is God says salvation is by faith, and that settles it.
That's right.
In 100 verses.
Right.
So the hope is that someone who might not be totally clear on this issue would start reading your book, and by the end of it, they're going to have to admit this is what the scriptures teach.
I would sure love to see that happen, especially, as you say, with pastors. If they're open and they read this book, I think God will open their hearts. They will grasp this, and this may be a message they believed when they were younger, and later theological education led them off the path.
Right.
They can come back to what they used to believe. But either way, believing this is good for everyone's spiritual health. Not only is this the way we gain everlasting life, but this is the way we grow as Christians, by continuing to hold fast to the faith alone message.
Right. The book is a little repetitious in the sense that every single verse has to do with salvation by faith.
Right.
But I think people will be surprised, because even though each of these verses deals with salvation by faith, there's always side issues. There's always questions that arise from the text that might seem to undermine. Maybe this doesn't actually teach faith alone. Maybe this teaches salvation by something else. And so you explore those issues in each chapter.
Right. Every chapter has been written as a standalone, so that people can read that one chapter and get a blessing out of the one chapter without having to look at other chapters. Well, and I think this one is a good example.
Right. So today we're going to look at Acts 16, verse 31. This is the episode with the Philippian jailer.
Right.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about the context here?
Right. Paul came to Europe as a result of the Macedonian vision, Acts 16:9, and when he got over to Europe, he came to a city called Philippi. And first, he led a woman named Lydia to faith in Christ. She was a God-fearing Gentile who was at the place of prayer. They didn't have a synagogue in Philippi, not enough Jewish men to have a synagogue, so they met at the riverside. And he led Lydia to faith in Christ. Then the second example, Paul and Silas get thrown in prison as a result of their preaching, and the jailer who's holding them is about to kill himself because God releases all the doors of the prisoners. They're all unlocked, and the jailer thinks they've all escaped and he'll be executed.
Right.
So he's about to take his life, and Paul says, "Don't harm yourself." And that's when the man asked Paul the famous question in Acts 16. Maybe you could read 30 through 32.
Actually, let me just read verse 25.
Okay.
"But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God." I love
that. That's great.
It's midnight in prison, which is what a picture of like the lowest time in life.
And they've been beaten, and their feet are in stocks.
And this isn't a cushy prison. This is like brutal, ancient world prison. And they're praying and singing. And the prisoners were listening to them, so they're keeping the prisoners up.
Yeah.
I wondered if some of those guys are like, "Please, let me just get back to sleep." Or maybe they're really encouraged. What is going on here? "Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed," just as he said. "And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.'" Why was he going to kill himself?
Well, basically because he would be put to death by the Romans, because if you let anybody escape, you're put to death. But it wouldn't be just put to death. It would have been a torturous death. So much easier just take your own life.
Right. "Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'"
Isn't that a great question?
Now, the reason why he's asking this question is because obviously Paul and Silas have been sharing their faith in prison.
Well, yes and no. It seems to me you already hit the key point in verse 25. They were praying and singing. Also, he knew the reason they were put in prison is because they were preachers of this new religion. But he evidently did not know what Paul and Silas said you need to do to be saved.
Right.
He knew they preached about salvation.
Right. He just didn't know what the condition was. "So, sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household."
Yes. Now, this leads to confusion. Some people think "you and your household" means if the jailer came to faith, then all his household was guaranteed salvation, too. I've heard people who say, "Well, I came to faith in Christ when I was in college through Campus Crusade for Christ, and that was a promise God made that all my family would be saved."
Right.
And they use this verse. That's not what this verse says. Commentators are very clear that the point here is that this promise, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved," was not just for the jailer,
right,
but it was for his whole family.
Right. And the next
and
verse.
And for everyone.
Right. And the next verse, it says they shared that message with everyone in the household. "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house."
Yes. Now, we should not assume the only thing Paul said is "believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." The word that he preached was almost certainly that God sent his son and he became a man. He died on the cross for our sins. And as a result, whoever believes on him has everlasting life, is saved once and for all. But I think the point is very clear that Paul is talking about salvation from eternal condemnation. Paul Hill says that Paul is talking about salvation in the, quote, full religious sense.
Mm-hmm.
And Wiersbe says that this is the cry of people all around the world. What must I do to be saved? And he says, quote, "We better be able to give the right answer if they ask."
Right.
I think Wiersbe's got a good point.
Yeah.
A lot of people, if directly asked, "What must I do to be saved?" they wouldn't say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved."
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't know that. They'd say, "Well, let's say a special prayer together."
Yeah.
You got to say a sinner's prayer.
Well, I remember I once debated a Church of Christ evangelist, and I brought this verse up because he was saying you had to do five things. You had to believe, obey, confess, repent, and be baptized in order to be saved. And I said, well, when Paul was asked, "What must I do to be saved?" why did he only give one of the 5 points?
Yeah.
Where is obey, confess, repent, and be baptized?
Right.
And his answer was, well, we need, you know, God wants us to be students of the whole Bible. And I'm like, but given a direct question, shouldn't the answer be correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Or when Jesus was talking to Martha in John 11,
right,
why was it whoever lives and believes in him shall never die?
Right.
Where is obey, confess, repent, be baptized?
Right.
And his answer was, well, again, you need to take all the verses in all the Bible and put them all together. And I said, but that seems odd to me that the Lord would mislead people and the Apostle Paul would mislead people.
Well, just recently I did the census, you know, the 2020 census. I don't know. Did you fill yours out?
Yes, online, yeah.
And, you know, when it asks how many people are in your household, it would be wrong for me to say me. I mean, it's true.
It's true. You are,
but I'm leaving out four other people. And so the same thing with salvation. If someone says, you know, what must I do to be saved? And you just say, believe. And you leave out those four other things, then you're actually misleading the person.
Right.
Paul's not going to mislead the Philippian jailer about salvation.
No, he's giving the correct answer. And right. By the way, some people have said, aha, but notice it says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't just say believe on Jesus Christ. And they say, therefore, you need to yield to him as Lord and submit to him as Lord. And it's more than believing, but you also must commit and submit, etc.
So they're taking a title and they're inferring from the title Lord that there are other conditions of salvation.
Exactly. And
so that's wrong.
Because, first of all, we have many, many passages where it's simply believe on him.
Right.
John 3:16, John 3:17, 18, John 6:47, he who believes in me has everlasting life. And there's no statement of the lordship of Christ. But secondly, that's who he is. That's not what we need to do.
Yeah, Jesus has lots of titles, but that doesn't mean there's lots of conditions of salvation.
Right, and we don't make him Lord. He is Lord.
Right.
Yes, does that mean I should submit to him? Absolutely. Does that mean I should follow him? Absolutely. But what's the condition? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And so the message of this passage is a powerful one. What Paul is saying to the Philippian jailer and his family is that anyone, him, his household, whatever, anyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is saved forever, once and for all, has everlasting life. It's not faith plus works. It's not faith that necessarily works, should work, but may or may not. It's simply faith that the moment of faith, a person is born again. And that's why we call this good news.
Thanks, guys, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that, if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question, or a comment, or some feedback. And if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Well, here we are at another Friday. I'm excited to be facing a weekend. I hope that your weekend is great wherever you are. And we look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.